The Xbox Drive is powered by the You, Me, and Capri Patreon. We want to say thank you to some people, starting with our Diamond Executive Producers, Slimer Snarf, Lee Navarro, and Jonathan Brown. Also, our Platinum Producer, Robbie Bobby Miller. And then to our Gold Level Patrons, like James Johnson, Jean K, Skinny Matt, Ashley Nicholson, Becky Grockmall, Trucker Sloth, Argo, Ryan Turford, Egg Shen, and Ray Sony Pony Martinez. Thank you, everyone, for all of your support.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Sean Capri. I'm in my car, and you are listening to the most horsepowerful podcast on the internet. It's the Xbox Drive. I'm on a Skype call with my friend, Ryan Turford. He's the man on the moose, and on our journey today, Xbox bought Doom and Wolfenstein and Fallout and Elder Scrolls and all of Bethesda, $7.5 billion worth of awesomeness, so jump on into the Xbox Drive.
Hello, Sean Capri.
Ryan Turford, I'm out of breath, man. That's it. I'm a little passed out, so I need to hand
over
to you. Yeah, I'm dead. That's it. That's the end of the show.
I'm just going to have to do the whole show
by myself, man.
Now. Yep. It's just going to be like one of the episodes of The Extra Mile, The Roundabout, where I do just all by my lonesome.
I'm really the guest on the show. Like, this is really your deal. And then, like, once out of every three episodes, I show up on the feed.
I guess, but I mean, you're around more than that. Sometimes it's one out of every two episodes. It depends on if there's an extra mile that week or not.
Wait till I come back with the roundabout comeback and the rebuttals, the roundabout rebuttals. As I go through your list of the top 50 games on the Xbox 360 and I destroy your list with my own picks. What do you think about that?
I mean, you keep hinting at that being a thing. I mean, I'm eager to see what you come up with.
I just think, isn't that what you're supposed to do with lists? Whenever somebody presents like a top 50 of anything, you're supposed to destroy it. Isn't that like what the natural reaction is? Yeah.
I mean, actually, with the top 10 now, our lists are probably going to be much closer. The order might be in different spots. But I mean, for the most part, I'm sure you have quite a contentious list of picks.
I doubt it.
Interesting. but we're going to save that for another day, Sean, because we should probably get into the show. First off, the docket this week, we're going to clean the garage a little bit because pre-orders went up this week. And I wanted to talk about that real quick. So, yeah. Sean, how did your pre-orders go? Did you pick up a console?
I did. I was at one point resigning to the idea that maybe I wouldn't be able to get one because of my whole, I'm a very precarious type of person, Ryan Turford. I have been saving up in the way of gift cards for birthdays and Christmas. I've been asking for gift cards so I could stash them away. So I've got, I had a bunch of gift cards just stashed away. And I knew that might present a problem when pre-ordering, period, because it locks me in on one store. So that was EB Games. And long story short, it was not really working out for your boy. So I was like, you know what, man? It's just not working out for me. That's totally fine. It's not a big deal. I'm sure there'll be another chance there. And then my wife, she was like, so did you get your Xbox? She's a very loving, caring person who knows that the other day was a very important day for me. And I said, no, it's not going to happen. And it's not a big deal. I'll get it later. And she goes, well, I'm not doing anything. And the kids are at her parents' house. So she went to EB Games, lined up. She was number 16 out of, I think 50 some odd people ended up being there. And she got it for me. We paid for it in full because that's apparently what you have to do with the gift cards. So we are lined up, Mr. Ryan Turford. It was a journey, but she did it for me. My wife looked out for me, and I'm ready for November 10th.
That's awesome, dude. That's awesome that Chelsea went and did that. I mean, I feel bad because I mean, I can imagine that line was probably pretty brutal, just hanging out in EB Games to pick up the console. But that's awesome. At least you've got it all paid off now and it's ready to go.
She was there for about an hour. She was only there for about an hour. Like, she wasn't there hours and hours ahead. And she brought her Switch. She played some Animal Crossing and had her Diet Coke from McDonald's. So she had a good, she tells me she had a good time. I really told her, don't go. I'm sure it'll work out. I really felt bad that she was going to take time out of her day for that. But, she took care of it, and I'm happy. I've got it. It's all set. And I can go pick it up on the day of. That's the other kind of big thing the other reason I wasn't really too, gung-ho about ordering it online, just because I saw all the reports from the PS5 that, shipping delays might happen. I'm like, I want to play that thing on November 10th. So I can go pick it up on that day, and I'll be ready.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, for me, I didn't do an in-store pickup or in-store reservation like you did, because I always traditionally do that for consoles for the reason you cited, which is you can go pick it up that night. But the problem is the closest place in my area to do that it's like a 30-minute subway trip away from my apartment, which I don't want to do in our current climate. So, because there's a Best Buy down, like maybe two blocks from my apartment, but they weren't doing instant pre-orders. So I ended up actually doing an online pre-order instead. I actually pre-ordered mine through Walmart Canada. Mm-hmm. I was able to get one pretty quickly, actually. Within the first couple of minutes they went up, I was able to snag it very quick. I know you were very limited to just being on EB Games and just using gift cards.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, in Canada specifically,
it's pretty
good.
The
pre-order experience was actually pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the Canadian retailers were easy to get them from. I know Steve Tilley in particular tweeted that, like, Shoppers Drug Mart in particular, which you would normally not think of about getting consoles from, was apparently like a really solid Canadian retailer that had them up for like a few hours even.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were lots of retailers like that here. But in the States, from what we're hearing, it was a very different matter. Like, many people weren't able to get them. I know, like, Amazon and Best Buy held the links back, like their pre-orders back.
Yeah, it wasn't right at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is when everything went up. Yeah. And that's the thing that, you know, it was sad to see people getting frustrated. And I definitely don't want people to have a bad experience. But what I also saw is when Amazon went up, it was like click, 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 no delays, no, you know, like Amazon deals with some insane traffic. So from what I heard from people who bought it from Amazon, it was actually a pretty good experience over there.
Yeah, versus the Microsoft store, which crashed and was down for like 4 hours. You couldn't buy anything.
How embarrassing.
But then when it eventually came up again, like the Microsoft Canadian store in particular, like the systems were actually well stocked for a pretty long period as well. Mm-hmm. And they actually had a good deal on that I saw. Whereas if you were going to pick up one of the new controllers they announced, you could actually pick it up at a reduced price with the console.
Yeah.
Which was actually a pretty cool deal.
I would have done that. That's where I would have bought it. If I wasn't at EB Games, I would have bought it from there. Cause I want one of those blue controllers that they announced. I think that looks so sweet. And I'm also really excited. I don't know if this is... I haven't even looked at the docket, man. I don't even know what we're talking about.
But that's all good.
But the Design Labs is taking a bit of a break. And so it'd be interesting to see like what's gonna come back when they come back online. That was one of the other reasons I kind of held off on getting one of those new controllers that look really sweet. I'm kind of like, if I'm going to get one of those controllers, I might as well design it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Design Lab controllers, they said they're coming back sometime in mid-2021 with the new controllers. So I'm excited to see what they do with it.
I don't know why I thought I saw a couple weeks, but you're probably right.
The article says in a couple weeks, the store will stop accepting orders.
Oh,
on October
that's
15th,
what I read. Yeah,
they're going to stop bringing the orders in, but then it will resume sometime next year. And they said not only are you going to be able to customize the new controllers, but there's going to be some new additions to Design Lab as well beyond that. So I'm interested to see what else they're going to add to Design Lab, because that's going
to
be pretty sweet.
I want paddles. I want to be able to design something that's close to that Elite controller for sure, man.
I wonder if maybe they can do something like custom logos non-copyright written logos. Mm-hmm. You throw them on your controller.
Like an Xbox Drive
would be pretty
controller.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Like an Xbox Drive controller that has the Xbox Drive logo on it. That'd be pretty sweet. Real quick as well, before we move on, because I had asked for some of y'all's takes on how your pre-order experience went. And we got one from Zero Skill that I'm going to read at Zero Skill One. They say, I got a Series X after nearly 40 minutes stuck in my cart screen and verifying addresses and payment information from Microsoft. Lots of loading and a few error prompts, but I made it to the finish.
Yeah.
I will be modifying the order later to pay for it using Microsoft credit, which is an awesome thing you can do through the Microsoft store as well. If you've rewards credits saved up
Ooh,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, I think you get reward points for buying the console that way, too.
Yep.
So I'm wondering how much you actually get for that. But that's awesome to hear as well. I mean, it sounds like a lot of people with persistence were able to get them. Like, if you really wanted one, kept refreshing. I mean, I know it didn't work out like that for everybody, but that's a lot of the stories I heard were very similar to that one, where they kept it took like half an hour to 40 minutes. But if you really wanted one, or if you just had the time to put into it, you were usually able to get one.
Yeah. So, and it,
that's awesome to hear that a lot of people got what they wanted.
It reminded me a little bit of buying tickets for a concert, which I haven't done in a long time just because of how things are. And I'm an old man, but like buying tickets for a concert, which is kind of a crapshoot anyways, it's just kind of like, that's kind of the way that it goes, is there's going to be a whole bunch of traffic, and you're not guaranteed to get one. But, you know, with persistence, you can kind of figure it out. And I'm hopeful that, and I think what I'm hearing from people is that if they wanted one, they got one.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, there's some corner case things that we'll get to one of those later in the show.
Sure.
But I think that Yeah, there's for the most part, I think that's the consensus I got.
There's
got to
be more chances,
good thing.
Right? There's got to that can't be the only time.
Microsoft already came out and said there's going to be more chances between now and launch. Plus, there's an allotment saved specifically for launch as well.
Of course.
Like, you'll be able to go into a store without a pre-order and buy one day one within reason.
Just push a couple kids out of the way, like, whatever. Just, you know, get to the front line at all costs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I wanted to promote before we get into the show proper, my Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Extra Mile review will be up on Friday. So look for that on the podcast feed as well if you are interested in that.
Nice.
But Sean, Ryan, let's pop our A-tracks in. It's time for the playlist. And tell me what you played this week, Sean, because there were quite an interesting selection of games to choose from this week.
Ryan, let me take you back to a time over a decade ago. We played old games actually this week for, I think mainly just because there's not like a whole lot brand new coming up. And there's been a game on my Xbox that's been sitting there since I think 2016 called, I think it's called Day of Sex. Or Deus Ex. I think it, one of those two. Mankind Divided played. I think that was it 2016? I'm fairly certain it was 2016.
It was 2016, yeah. I remember it.
Old game. Nobody likes old games, except for me. I don't know what it was. So perfect pairing. I don't know what it was about this game that I played it for, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10 hours back when it came out, and I kind of walked away from it, because all I was really, I actually got it as a review copy for We the Nerdy way back then, and all I was really asked to do was provide kind of a comparison and how it ran compared to what the main review was for PC. Back then.
Okay.
So I was just kind of doing like, does this run good? Does it look good? And that was kind of it. So once I finished with that, I was setting aside, always wanting to go back to it. And my God, man, if I don't think this is one of like the best games I've played, dude, it is so great. It's completely, that the story is completely over the top, overly convoluted, and I love it. It reminds me of like almost like a cyberpunk type of like 24, like terrorists and augmentations and all these things where there's evil corporations and conglomerates, and I'm pretty sure that the Illuminati is a real thing in this
of
lore.
Course. Yep.
I don't normally like stealth games, which this really leans into stealth quite a bit, and I suck at it quite a lot. But I'm sticking with it, man. And there is something really special to this game. And probably the most heartbreaking thing about it is Eidos Montreal and Square Enix will likely never go back to this. I don't think this really sold all that well. But it looks great. It runs great. The systems are amazing. I've just got some experimental AUGs that I've discovered in my system. And I know you played this a bunch back in the day, man. And I feel like, you know, for people who know this game, they're like, yeah, we were all screaming about this 4 years ago. Thanks for jumping on board. But I really want to finish this game, man. I think it's really, really good. As hard as it is for me to get used to a stealth type game like this, I'm not like this and kind of like Metal Gear Solid. They're not my strengths. So I'm outside of my comfort zone, but I'm really, really loving my time with it.
Dude, that's awesome that you're finally getting a chance to play this, because I actually did play it quite a bit when it came out. I actually beat the game when it first came out, but I haven't really gone back to it since. And I really love the flexibility, because you can kind of approach each situation playstyle. In fact, you don't have to be super stealthy in this game. You just have to make sure to allot points to in the right areas, and maybe to customize your loadout a little bit to counterbalance that. But obviously, then you're going to run into more resistance when you get into some of the tougher boss fights. But I also really like the heavy emphasis of stealth if you want it as well. Like, that's something the Deus Ex series has always been great about, is giving you options.
Mm-hmm.
And other than Human Revolution, which was the 360 Deus Ex game, having its boss fights outsourced and then throwing all that out the window whenever you went to the boss fights, every other Deus Ex game has been very much all about that freedom of choice. And that's one of the things I've always liked about it. It's awesome to hear that you're finally picking it up, because I think it's a game that a lot of people really overlooked in 2016. It was definitely one of the best games of that year, but it's just like no one played it at all. Like, copies were on sale for $10 very quickly after release, because they just couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And that's one of the reasons why, spoiler alert, we don't know if Deus Ex is ever coming back at this point.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It's kind of a bummer. Yeah.
It has this weird mix. Like, it definitely gives me Mass Effect vibes in the way that it looks, even like the sound effect as well. And like, the one thing that I just want to touch on, it is so rewarding when you finally start to allocate some of your like kind of skill points and upgrade your character, and you can get into hacking and you can see things that otherwise couldn't be seen. And when you start to choose those in a style that you like to play, and that kind of unlocks different paths and different options for you to approach different combat situations or puzzles, it's so rewarding. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe I overlooked this. And I'm just, like I said, I'm having an absolute blast with it. And people should definitely go check it out, man. I don't think it's on... is it on Game Pass? I don't think this one's on Game Pass.
It was on Game Pass.
Oh, man.
It was one of the Square Enix games that was
one of the first ones.
Timed on Game Pass for a while. And then, yeah, they pulled it after a while.
Yeah, super fun.
Which is too bad. But, I mean, again, you can actually, going back to what I was saying before, I think you can get a copy pretty cheap now. So
fair
if
enough.
You're interested at all in this game, there's a copy out there probably for you to pick up. And it goes on sale digitally as well all the time, too. So that is an option. But, Sean, we played a little game last week together.
Yeah.
Or last night together. Halo ODST, tell me about that.
I never played it, man. And finally, you can leave me alone about this thing. I think you've completed it, right? You beat it before?
Well, yeah, I've beaten it multiple times before because I love ODST. I had beaten it when it came out, and then I beat it when I was creating the list for the roundabout. And then I haven't beaten it again since then, but I probably plan to now that it's back on PC. Mm-hmm. It's on PC now, Sean.
Well, that's where we played it, man. And we were playing with our good friend Garrett Bland from the Nintendo Shack and twitch.tv/BlandExplosion. Good friend of the show. And, you know, this sort of thing happens whenever the Halo games get added to Master Chief Collection on the PC, where we get together for a couple hours and play through the first few missions. And I think what you guys are saying is, like, we're almost halfway through the campaign already. Yep. So I just had no idea that this game worked in any of these ways. The only thing that I really knew was that you weren't a Spartan, and so like the health kind of worked a little bit differently, and you're in more of a stamina situation than anything. But like, I didn't know really much about this at all, that the game kind of goes back and forth between the main characters that you're playing, and then you discovering and playing through the point of view of your squad mates and discovering like what happened to them during this whole like kind of catastrophe that's happening on New Mombasa. And it's really interesting the way that it kind of goes back and forth between the perspectives, but then also the open world, kind of micro open world, to the more traditional run and gun type of levels that you see in a typical Halo game. Like, what an explorative and experimental type of Halo experience. And I had a really fun time playing with you guys last night.
Yeah, it's just so much different from any other Halo game, and that's one of the things I loved about it, is that it's non-linear. You can play it any of the first like five stages in any order you want to. It gives you an objective marker saying, hey, this is the one we recommend you start with,
right?
Or recommend you go to next. But you don't have to do that at all. You just, if you know where the objects are in the environment, or you just find them naturally, you just go interact with them and play that level instead. Like, mm-hmm. I thought, like, it's super awesome level design, and it kind of gives you a peek into the ideas of what I think they're going to do with Halo Infinite, where it's going to be more of that type of experience,
yeah,
mixed with just something bigger, more like Far Cry, yeah, just on a bigger scale,
mm-hmm.
Which it just gets me even more excited for Halo Infinite. And yeah, I'm so glad you're finally playing it, because I can no longer hang that over your head, Sean. I'm glad I can now find a new game to hold over your head.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, I feel like I'll still want to play it by myself afterwards, because like anytime you stream a game, it's going to change or alter your experience with it. And then anytime you play a game multiplayer, it's also going to, yeah, or like play a single player type of game in multiplayer, it's going to change as well. So I know kind of very little about like what the story is trying to tell me, but that kind of doesn't matter at the same time, because I just really like Halo for playing with my friends and playing through a bunch of different scenarios and shooting bad guys. It's super fun. And that's why I like Halo 5, because that's all I wanted to do. So that's a whole other story, Ryan Turford.
Fair enough, my friend.
What about you, man? I've been doing a lot of talking here.
So I played a couple games this week, and I'm going to kind of go through them fast because we're running shorter on time than I anticipated. We're going to start with Crash Bandicoot 4. It's About Time.
Oh, God,
the
what?
Demo came out this week for pre-orders, because it's out October 1st, but they released a demo for anyone who pre-ordered the game this week, and I had a blast with the demo. It's three levels. You play two of them as Crash, and then one is the bad guy, whose name I'm blanking on for whatever reason, Cortex. You play one level as Cortex.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I knew that.
And it's kind of like Tony Hawk, where it feels just like like Crash 3 or Crash 2 mm-hmm. in its gameplay. Like, it's, you're still doing a lot of the same platforming, whether it's behind the back or side scrolling platforming. And I really love the Crash games. I actually wasn't really too into them when they originally launched on PlayStation, but when the remastered trilogy came out, I got really into that trilogy. Like, I loved playing all three of those games. And, it was like picking up three older games that I just never really appreciated. And I finally was shown the majesty that is Crash Bandicoot and finally learned just why people love that franchise.
Yeah.
So when Crash 4 got announced, I was pretty excited about it, but I wanted to temper my expectations a little bit, especially knowing what happened with Crash after those first three games, mm-hmm. when another studio took over. But no, man, the Toys for Bob, it looks like they've totally nailed the formula of Crash Bandicoot, and I can't wait for the full game. I'm so happy that I played the demo. And for Crash fans, it feels like Crash, it looks like Crash, it plays like Crash, and you should be excited about this one. But the other game that I'm a little disappointed about, but I have to talk about this week, Sean, is Crisis Remastered. Now, full disclosure, of course, this code was provided to us by Crytek for the purpose of us taking a look at it. But man, when I first booted it up, it was a broken mess. Like, it was to the point where basically you would load up the game and you would start a level and the level would basically layer on top of itself like 20 or 30 times, or just sometimes just in infinite loops of basically like the screen would show up and then like another version of the same screen would layer on top of it to the left, and then so on and so forth, to the point where it would actually freeze the game or just break it completely. And that happened regardless of whether you started the game or went to different levels, or whether you restarted it or whether you reinstalled it, until a patch came out which kind of fixed that. However, even after the patch came out, the game offers you three different visual options. A performance mode, which is essentially just running the game at 1080p, but having an uncapped frame rate. Mm-hmm. So it can go over 30, but it can also go well below 30 in a lot of places.
How old is this game? Like, the remaster is like, Crysis came out in what, like 2006?
2007, but yeah.
Man, a while nailed ago. It. I was pretty close. I mean,
yeah, we're pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty ugly it looks pretty ugly in performance mode.
Sure.
Cause it's 1080p.
I don't think I've ever heard you describe a game that way. It looks ugly.
I mean, I'm being blunt with this game because I know that developers know that this is an issue and I know they're working on it.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
And also it's just a cautionary tale for anyone looking to pick up the game as well. Mm-hmm. There's also a ray tracing mode, which I thought was super interesting because we don't have ray tracing on Xbox One games, but right. This Xbox One game has like software-based ray tracing in it that actually works. But the frame rate runs at about 15 frames a second, so it's pretty much unplayable, at least on my Xbox One X when I'm playing it. And then there's a quality mode, which runs the game at 4K, and it's like, it runs at about 15 to 30 frames a second.
My God.
Which, again, for this type of game, for a shooter, it's not what you want to see.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I think this, along with Avengers, has really shown me that it's time for new consoles and that it's time to be excited about Xbox Series X, because I truly believe, after seeing footage of the PC version of this game, that this game is going to probably look and play amazing on Series X in particular, but just not in its current state on Xbox One, especially if you have an Xbox One or an S.
Oh my gosh, I'm
kidding. Just not pick up this game at all at this point. I would just wait I was really excited to pick it up too, because I like Crysis. I think it's a really fun game, and especially the 360 version of Crysis actually ran really well. So I was really excited to see what they would do with it on these consoles, and it's just too bad that unfortunately kind of released in this state. But I know the developers are working on it. There was actually another patch today that fixed up a little bit more of these visual issues. So I know it's something they're working on. And Crytek's come out ahead of this and basically said, look, we know this is a thing. We're working on it. Just give us some time to. So this is one of those things where I would say hold off on it probably until the Series X comes out. And then I think this will actually probably be a really good get when that console launches.
Yeah.
But Sean, we got to slam the brakes on this conversation because it's time for some breaking news, because we got to get to this main story because we're pretty far into the show. Microsoft has acquired Bethesda. It's happening. Microsoft has acquired ZeniMax Media, as well as all of their game divisions. This includes Bethesda Game Studios, id Software, Arkane Studios, Machine Games, Tango Gameworks, ZeniMax Online Studios, Alpha Dog, and Roadhouse Studios, as well as their all their associated IPs. Mm-hmm. Phil Spencer stated after the announcement was made that Ghostwire Tokyo and Deathloop will be honoring their exclusivity agreements on PS5, as well as any other future games will be determined for exclusivity based on a case-by-case basis for each game. So it's not really going to be cut and dry, hey, all Bethesda games are only going to be on Xbox or whatnot. It's going to be on a case-by-case basis. Also, all Bethesda games are coming to Game Pass at some point. I think by next year, they said, every Bethesda back catalog game that's on Xbox will be back on Game Pass.
Amazing.
As well as games day and date. So Starfield, they've already said, will be Game Pass day and date, which is awesome to hear as well. And before I get to you, Sean, because I know you're chomping at the bit to talk about this, I want to bring in Seamus McIsaac, at Famous Seamus. He asks, So Xbox bought Bethesda. Do you think that means we'll see just Xbox exclusives from Bethesda or timed exclusives? And what Bethesda games are you looking forward to playing on Game Pass? So, Sean, what do you think about this? And what do you think about the exclusivity of Bethesda games on Xbox?
Make it all exclusive. Enjoy your Spider-Man and Marvel's Avengers, you bunch of... I don't even know. I don't want to be mean about it. They're... It's all going to be exclusive, Ryan Turford. Everything. Aside from maybe the games that we think are coming out like pretty soon, I think Fallout 5 will be exclusive. I think Elder Scrolls 6 will be exclusive. I think Starfield will absolutely be exclusive. I'm hopeful for Obsidian and for these teams to work together on maybe a Fallout New Vegas 2. There's so many things that can happen. Yes, make it all exclusive. I'm sorry. That's absolutely... It's a $7.5 billion deal. This can continue. Now, the one thing that I should mention, and you know more about this than me, but like Elder Scrolls Online will continue cross-platform. I think that's probably the best for them to do, for them and for their fan base, actually. It's not always the case where it's the best for both, but I think that one is as it should be. But yeah, the next Fallout, exclusive. Next Elder Scrolls, exclusive. Bring it on, man.
Believe it, and that's just the Bethesda Game Studios games. I mean, you've also got all of id's games, so Doom.
Oh, that's like a given. I feel like, yeah, like definitely.
Wolfenstein, mm-hmm. Anything from Arkane going forward, like if they ever went back to Dishonored or Prey or any of those games, as well as any future IPs. My read on it is a little bit different than yours. I would say that, first of all, any new IP from Bethesda going forward will probably be exclusive to Xbox. I don't anticipate anything non-established will be crossing platforms. I think those will be exclusive going forward.
So what
forward.
About Fallout 5? What about or Elder Scrolls 6?
I
Let's
think
start with those.
Any established franchise, again, will probably be on a case-by-case basis. I actually think it's more likely that they'll do what Square Enix has been doing with Final Fantasy, where they'll probably be timed exclusive for a year to Xbox instead of...
That'd be so interesting on a first-party thing. I know that there's like kind of some weird stuff happening where it's like, it wasn't always first-party, it is now. But to be timed exclusive for that, I think that is a little bit weird. The other thing that I've seen people say is like, well, that they'll be on Game Pass. So like, why would you ever want to buy it on PlayStation?
There's that too.
So
yeah, that's the argument.
I like,
they almost don't even
that.
Need to. They almost don't need to make it exclusive. They can just have it just be like on Game Pass day and date. And that's a reason not to spend $70 on a game. $70 US on a brand new game, I should say.
That'll be more interesting if they do it that way. I feel like that'll be like more interesting for us to kind of like talk about and analyze and things. But at the same time, like, it's a lot of money to just to go like, yeah, you can put it on everything. And you know, like, yeah. I don't really know. I'm being bullish about it, but because I kind of just want Fallout to be on PC and Xbox only. I kind of want Elder Scrolls to be like just there. They've always had a really strong relationship, and I know they talked a lot about that in a lot of the media releases and stuff, that Xbox and Bethesda Studios have really always aligned. I want all those to be exclusive, honestly, with you, Ryan. Doom is think it's going to be interesting.
So go ahead.
Doom, I think, is going to be interesting. Whether or not like the next Doom game or, you know, what I really want is a Quake. I want a Quake reimagining like they did with Doom. And I think I'll talk about that on Twitter. So it'll be, make it exclusive. I'm just going to stick with that, man.
Yeah. I mean, you don't make this type of deal without making at least some of this content exclusive. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, this is going to be the end of deals like Deathloop or Ghostwire Tokyo.
Right.
For PS5, like going forward. But I also, with that in mind, I think those are the type of deals you're probably going to see where it will be that type of timed exclusivity that will be for games that players want on other consoles as well. Because it's one of those things where, yes, they could make some of the, like, they could make Elder Scrolls exclusive, but they might be leaving more money on the table by doing that than not doing that.
Right. It's a pretty massive property. Like, is it,
yeah,
you know, nothing really is in the realm of Minecraft, but you could see what they did with Minecraft. They left it available anywhere, and that worked out really well for them. So I could see that, but man, wouldn't it be like really a ballsy move to kind of take that away from everybody who's been playing it on, I guess, just PlayStation is really the only other place. Like, it's still going to be on PC. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, so, PlayStation would be the only place it wouldn't be. Or, I mean, this may also affect what Bethesda games come to Switch as well going forward. I mean, I imagine it probably doesn't change too much, but I mean, you never know. Like, Doom Eternal might be the last Switch port of a Bethesda game.
Yeah.
So I think it affects more than just PlayStation, but yeah, you're right. It doesn't really affect PC at all because all those players are already there. Mm-hmm. And also, they can kind of look at the numbers of, say, Doom, for example, because if Doom performed well on PC and Xbox but didn't perform well on PlayStation, and I'm just using Doom as an example, but because you could apply that to any of their games. But if one of those franchises traditionally doesn't perform well on PlayStation, then at that point you can make the argument that even though that franchise appeared there before, we're just going to make it Xbox exclusive because that's where our audience for that is anyways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely think it'll be on a case-by-case basis. I do think the bigger franchises, though, like Doom, like Elder Scrolls, like Fallout, I think those will be the ones where they're more likely to come to PlayStation than others. Mm. And, who knows? I mean, it's just really exciting. I mean, first of all, like, we never see deals like this in the gaming industry.
Massive.
I think this is the biggest deal I've ever seen at all, like, in my like time playing video games. As a child, you know, I can't think of another deal like this. Like, I just can't believe, we literally woke
they
up on Monday
E3.
Morning.
They bought an E3 presentation.
They literally did. Also, the question I had for you, Starfield, it's a new IP. Is that going to be exclusive to Xbox?
They haven't
announced plans for it yet.
Yeah, I definitely think that's going to be, like I said, I'm going to stick with kind of my original statement. I think everything is going to be exclusive. I think they, aside from Elder Scrolls Online, that's the only one that's really going to stay in anything that they've currently announced. But any next game in any of the IP that you guys know from Bethesda, I think it's all going to be exclusive to Xbox and PC. I think that's going to be definitely Starfield for sure.
And, of course, Game Pass just totally shaping up with this announcement, too, because not only do we have the EA games in Game Pass, mm-hmm. but now Bethesda games, as well as all the other games that come to Game Pass.
So many like RPGs as well, man. I'm really excited. Yeah. I feel like one of the unsung heroes in this group is Tango. And, you know, a lot of people making a big deal that Phil Spencer's finally got his Japanese studio as sort of like part of this group, which has people thinking about what could be next. But Tango, I think, is a really interesting developer. And I really, weren't they The Evil Within? Isn't that them? Was that
yep.
Tango? Yeah. I mean, yep. they're just really, they're awesome, dude. And Ghostwire looks really interesting. So, yeah, it could be the start of something else, man. Maybe Sega's next.
Maybe. I mean, that's what everyone keeps saying. I mean, they also indicated in interviews on Monday that they're not done buying studios.
I know.
This isn't the end of it, apparently. So, yeah.
Has people a little bit scared. They're talking about monopolies and things like that. And it's like, okay, well, you know, it was cute with the whole, like, you get a character here, you get a timed exclusive there, and then you want to... I also feel like I kind of backed off a little bit last week on the whole, like, I think I was misdirected with Demon's Souls. This whole what's exclusive and not, holy cow. Got to be clear, Sony, about what's exclusive and what's not. But have fun with those exclusives. Xbox is just going to buy companies. They're just going to buy developers, man. It's insane.
For sure, man. Well, the one other thing I wanted to get to real quick before we go to the carpool is Xbox Game Pass, speaking of Game Pass, hit 15 million active subscribers. The number is up from 10 million, which was reported back in April of this year. So in 6 months... there have been 5 million new Game Pass subscribers, Sean. This is crazy news because, I mean, they haven't really announced anything new for Game Pass other than some newer games coming, but they haven't really changed the service around or anything like that. So I find this level of growth really surprising, mm-hmm. and I think it's only going to just multiply from here, especially with Series X coming out. And it's exciting to see that so many people are adopting Game Pass because if you put this into perspective, what we know, there's probably about 40 to 50 million Xbox Ones out there. That means almost half of people who have Xbox Ones have Game Pass.
Right.
Which is pretty incredible to see. I mean, that's also PC as well.
Right.
I'm just throwing that out there as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, huge growth. You have to wonder, too, like, when did it all happen? Like, what was the spark, too, of going from 10 to 15? They did a showcase that often people would kind of, they mocked, I think, early. Was it the May one? Or yeah, I think it was the May one, where... Yeah. It wasn't really focused on next gen hardware. It was like, well, that was a showcase for Game Pass, and people kind of like marginalized it for it. But who's laughing now? You know what I mean? Like they're making these big moves and strategic moves to have that growth. And now with Bethesda, it's like it's becoming. We thought it was a no brainer back. Like it was cute, you know, when it first started. I was like, what a great value. And now it's like it's really a serious disruptor in the video games industry. And I feel like it's just going to be, as this momentum is building, it's going to be harder and harder for others to compete with it, with whether it be Stadia or PlayStation Now or whatever the hell Nintendo is doing. Like they're onto something and they're miles and miles ahead with it. And yeah, sure. They're throwing around their big like treasure chest around it to make it all happen. But you got to respect the balls that it takes to do that. Like that's a huge investment into this, and it seems like even the CEO of Microsoft is on board with this, and they're already seeing signs of growth, which is encouraging for sure.
For sure. All right. Well, Sean, let's let some of our friends into the car with us. It's time for the carpool, and we're gonna start with Todd Oxtra at Talkstra. He asks, "What do you think we'll see as the roadmap for first party in 2021?" Any third-party surprises or anything like that? Sean, what do you see from first-party next year besides Halo, which we already know or assume is coming out next year? What else do you see at all from first-party next year?
Well, okay, so let's kind of like run that. I'd like to see something from like what Compulsion is up to. I'm really excited for Forza. I'm hoping that gets a decent time slot next year. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like everything that we saw so far, it seems like that could be even further out, man. Halo... Compulsion, what are they have? Who's the other guys? The Tim's, what's his name? With Psychonauts is happening. I feel like we have like a lot of the games that are coming out, but there's not really too many studios that we're not really aware of. The Initiative is still a bit of a mystery, but I don't think we're getting anything from them. But how about you, man?
Yeah, honestly, I'm with you. When I saw this question, I'm like, I was really racking my brain trying to figure out what they even had.
Hellblade's coming probably next year.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, well, that Hellblade, I think is actually probably 2022 still.
Oh,
like,
you think
honestly,
so?
I think almost all the first party games that we know about, that Fable, Avowed, like I think all those are 2022 games. So I honestly don't know what other games they really have.
So they should
put
Cyberpunk into Game Pass day and date this fall is what you're saying.
They should. Mm-hmm. They should.
There's still time.
Next up, exactly. Next up, we got Blaze Knight at Blaze Knight 0923. He asks, which newly acquired IP are you most excited to see a sequel to on next generation consoles? And you, I think I already know your answer to this, Sean, but tell me
What do you think my answer is?
It's Quake.
Quake is my answer. Yeah, it's not even like it's not even something that we've seen recently. I can't wait to see what they do with the others. I'd actually like to, Machine Games to take a break from Wolfenstein for a little bit and do maybe something else. And the other thing that I was kind of mentioning on Twitter as well is I want this to be a chance for, there to be some first-party studios that aren't franchise factories. I'd actually like to see like id get away from Doom. I'd like Machine Games to get away from Wolfenstein and things like that. I think we'll see Fallout, we'll see the Skyrims and things like that, but I'd like some more variety. I don't want it to be so predictable that it is going to do that game and Machine Games is going to do that game. There's some hope for that, certainly with Tango and Arcane. I think they're kind of the creative, like really wonky type of out of the box type of thinking. So definitely my answer is Quake. I'd like to see more of that, please.
Yeah, I mean, out of all of the IPs from Bethesda, that's the one I'm most interested in. I mean, I've been clamoring for that ever since I finished Doom 2016. I've always wanted them to revisit Quake, and they did with Quake Champions, but it's just, I want like a single player Quake game to come back. Even probably more in the style of Quake 1, where it's like this weird like mashing of first person shooter and like medieval fantasy. Mm-hmm. Like I would love to see that. But also like some other id IPs I would like to see them maybe go back to is like Hexen. I think like they could do like a Machine Games Hexen game, which is like a medieval first person shooter that basically focuses on magic and then melee weapons. And I think machine games could do something cool with that. Or even, like, I'm like you, though. I kind of want them to do more new IPs. That's probably one I want to see from them. Also, Prey. Maybe also they could give Prey to one of the Microsoft developers.
Ooh, good
and see
one.
What they could do with it as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it works both ways. I mean, also that people have been clamoring for Fallout New Vegas 2, which could be a thing as well, especially now that Obsidian and Bethesda Game Studios
that's
are
actually
under
the
same banner.
Yeah, Quake and New Vegas 2, definitely.
Yeah. Well, last question, and this one's a bit of a call out on your part, Sean. This is from Joseph Moran at Mr. Badbit from the trophy room. For the players, by the players, all that good stuff. Last week, we saw a low amount of PS5 digital editions for pre-order. Sean claimed that this was a deceitful way to upsell customers on PS5. This week, we saw the same thing with the Series X. My question is, will Sean keep that same energy? Sean, answer Joseph's question here.
I love this question. I was going on a bit of a tirade. I thought there was a lot of things going wrong over in Sony land, and I've absolutely called them out on a lot of that stuff in terms of deceitful marketing techniques and things that are just flat out gross and lies as well in terms of games that are they believe in generations and games that are absolutely coming only to PS5. They're built from the ground up for PS5, and then they go to PS4, and then I start to see these things about this $399 digital console and then a $499 with the disc, which is fine. I think that's a great strategy. But then we see that there aren't any of those $399 consoles available. And really the key here is that they are essentially the same machine with just the difference between the one doesn't have a disc drive. So they have this appearance that there's a $399 price point, but it's actually not available to anybody. And so what I was calling out is, and we're seeing some reports that it was like less than a percentage.
Yeah, I think
sold.
Best Buy Canada in particular stated they had like maybe 100 or 200 of those units to sell, and then the they had thousands of the disc versions
right.
of the PS5.
So again,
where it wasn't like that for Series S.
The key is that they're the same thing, and one is just doesn't have the disc. That's not necessarily the case with the Series S and X. They're pretty different, so you can't necessarily apply the same logic. Even if it were the case, which I've learned it is not, that the Series S was in extremely low quantities or supply versus the Series X. It does, and it's actually like counter to the strategy that Xbox is rolling out, which is that the Series S would be the market leader, very similar to the One S was the market leader versus the One X. So
what I'm going to say to that, Sean, is actually we saw anecdotal evidence that the online retailers had way more of the Series S than the Series
right.
X, but it was physical retailers like brick and mortar stores that were only offering like two of those per store for like every six.
But also
nobody's
going to take a picture to say like, oh, look how many Series S we have. The narrative that was being driven was that there was few, so you only saw those pictures. And then the way that rolled out was that, at least in PlayStation land, it was very hard for a lot of people to get the digital. They wanted to get the digital and they couldn't get it. But with Xbox, if you wanted to get the Series S, you could get it, at least for the most part. What I'm hearing is that you could still get it. So
you can still get it right
guns.
Now from the time we're listening to this.
Exactly.
I literally just looked this up 10 minutes ago from the Microsoft store to say this point. Microsoft store in Canada, mind you.
Right.
But, yeah, the Series S is still available right now, but the X is sold out.
Right.
So, but I could pre-order one right now if I wanted one. So
yeah.
Yeah, I do think there's a large quantity of those. So I do think it's a much different situation than what Sony did with PS5. But Sean, we got to wrap this up. We got to go. So before we go, Sean, plugs go.
Well, you can find me in front of a McDonald's or on the internet at Sean Capri, Sean like Connor, Capri like the pants. And if you like the show, you can support us at patreon.com/youmecapri. How about you, Mr. Ryan Turford?
So as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Turford. That's T-U-R-F-O-R-D, because everybody always asks. You also find me on YouTube at youtube.com/Ryan Turford. I have a review going up for the 8-bit Doe Project xCloud controller. That'll be up on Friday, so you can look out for my channel for that. And as well, you can find us on Twitter at the Xbox Drive. So for Sean Capri, I am Ryan Turford. This has been episode 159 of the Xbox Drive. And we out. Bye.
Xbox is going to buy Sony next. What's up? We'll be right back.